What a wonderful day of worship it is, and I thank God for all who have led us in this service of worship. So many wonderful things to celebrate today, from our youth choir to our children and their families, the beautiful music, the prayers, and now it's time to turn our attention to Holy Scripture. We're in a sermon series called Kingdom Personalities. We are looking at certain figures in the Gospel of Luke that show us how to be all in our discipleship and in our faith and our commitment to God's kingdom. Today I want to draw your attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 verses 1 through 10. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and the title of my sermon is Amazing Faith. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Let us pray. Oh God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. What if your faith was so strong that it made Jesus say, "Wow"? What if Jesus Christ, the Lord of all things, was in awestruck admiration of your faith? You might think this is impossible or crazy even to think about, but I know a man whose faith blew Jesus away. In Luke 7, Jesus encounters a centurion, a military commander. In verse 9, Jesus marvels at him, according to the Greek. He stops dead in his tracks, turns to those around him, and says, "Not even in Israel have I found such faith." The centurion's faith amazed Jesus. His faith astounded the one who astounded the world. His faith had the awesome one himself in awe. This unnamed centurion had faith so strong that it made the one unshaken by death shake his head in wonder. When Jesus encountered the faith of this centurion, he who calmed the storm, he who walked on water, he who got up from the grave, had to stop and whisper to himself, "Wow." I think we better learn more about this centurion. If we pay close attention, our text reveals five characteristics of the one with amazing faith. First, in verse 2, we learn that the centurion highly values his slave who has become deathly ill. He highly values and deeply cares for someone society ranks beneath him. This reminds me of a woman named Mary Scullion. In 1989, she started a ministry to homeless folks on the streets of Philadelphia. It's called Project Home. H stands for housing. O stands for opportunities for employment. M stands for medical care. E stands for education. The ministry focuses on providing these four things and touting the dignity of every person. And as a result, this ministry has blessed and empowered countless people for 30 years. Like the centurion, Mary Scullion cares greatly for people of low social status. The first characteristic of amazing faith is caring deeply for people that society ranks beneath us. Second, in verse 5, the centurion's Jewish friends say, "He loves our nation." The Gentile centurion loves the Jewish people, people of a different race, culture, and religious heritage. This is noteworthy given the tension that existed between Jews and Gentiles early in the first century. For example, in the year 38 AD, Gentiles mounted an attack on Jews in the city of Alexandria. Amid this atmosphere of intercultural hostility, the Gentile centurion loved the Jewish people, and they loved him too. This reminds me of a Baptist preacher named Clarence Jordan. From the 1940s through the 1960s, Jordan led an interracial Christian ministry down in Georgia called Koinonia Farm. Although he was persecuted for it, he loved people who were different from him, just like the centurion did. The second characteristic of amazing faith is love for people who are different from us. But Jesus is not amazed yet. Third, in verse 5, we further learn that the centurion built the synagogue for the Jews. The language seems to indicate that he funded the construction of the synagogue, an extravagant display of generosity. This reminds me of a story I read about a farmer in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly. He lived a modest life. He resided in a mobile home. He worked the farms faithfully. And when he died a few years ago, he left everything he had to the tiny church he attended. In total, his estate was worth $2 million. Like the centurion, this man was exceedingly generous. The third characteristic of amazing faith is extravagant generosity. Fourth, in verse 6, the centurion sends word to Jesus saying, "I am not worthy for you to come under my roof." Although he is a man with power, money, and prestige, a man who has 100 Roman soldiers ready to heed his every command, the centurion is considerate of others, such as the Jewish community, and he considers himself unworthy before Jesus Christ. In short, then, he was humble. He exhibited genuine humility. Some years ago, I heard a great definition of humility that has really stuck with me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That seems to be the way of our centurion. The fourth characteristic of amazing faith is genuine humility. But Jesus is not amazed yet. In verses 7 through 8, we learn the fifth and decisive characteristic of amazing faith. As Jesus approaches the centurion's home, the centurion sends word to him saying, "Don't trouble yourself any further, just say the word, and my servant will be healed." As far as we know, the centurion has never met Jesus. He has never seen Jesus. He has only heard about Jesus. Perhaps he had heard about Jesus' powerful teachings, or maybe he had heard about the miracles Jesus had worked. Whatever he had heard about Jesus, he trusted the power of Jesus' word so much that he didn't even need to see Jesus in order to believe in him. "Just speak, Jesus. Just utter a word, Lord. Just say something, and it will be sufficient. No need to walk all the way to my house. No need to darken my door. No need to shake my hand. No need to examine him and see what the doctors have tried so far and check out his symptoms for yourself. No need for you to see or touch him. No need for me to see or touch you. Just say the word, and he will be healed." The centurion had a chance to see Jesus for himself and validate the rumors he had heard about him. But he didn't need to, because he trusted the power of Jesus' word. That's what really blew Jesus away. The fifth and decisive characteristic of amazing faith is trusting the power of Jesus' word. And now that we know more about the centurion's faith, we can see why Jesus was amazed. The centurion's faith represents everything that the average faith is not. Average faith values people based on their social status. Amazing faith values people regardless of social status. Average faith loves people that are a lot like us. Amazing faith loves people who are different too, people of different race, a different culture, and a different religious heritage. Average faith surrenders little financially. Amazing faith gives with extravagant generosity. Average faith is self-centered, looking first to one's own interests. Amazing faith is humble, looking to the interests of others and feeling unworthy before Christ. Average faith wants to see and touch Jesus, wishing for visible, tangible evidence that Jesus is real and his message is true. Amazing faith says, "Just say the word, Jesus. I'm not worthy to see you or touch you. Just send your word this way. Your word is all I need." Have you ever thought to yourself, why isn't the risen Christ still around in bodily form so I can see him for myself and believe more strongly? Why, after rising from the grave, did he appear to others for 40 days and then ascend into heaven? Why not stick around a bit longer? Have you ever thought, you know, my faith in God would be bigger and my walk with God would be better if I could see the risen Christ in bodily form? So why doesn't Jesus show himself to his followers today just like he did 2,000 years ago? Have you ever thought like that? I have. What's so remarkable about this centurion is he's the only person I can think of who believed in Jesus Christ, had a chance to see him and meet him in person, and turned down the opportunity. He is the polar opposite of doubting Thomas, the disciple who famously refused to believe in the risen Christ until he had seen him with his own eyes and touched him with his own hands. The centurion indeed could have shaken the Savior's hand. He could have hosted the talk of the town, who 2,000 years later is still the talk of the world. But he turned down the chance. Why? He thought himself unworthy to see Christ, and he trusted Jesus' word so much that his word was all he needed. The truth is, we will probably never see Christ until we see him in glory. Like the centurion, we're going on what we've heard about Jesus. But we don't need Jesus to walk through our door in bodily form, because amazing faith goes by what is heard, not by what is seen. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul pits faith and sight against each other in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where he declares, "We walk by faith, not by sight." One reason I like this centurion so much is because I can relate to him. See, other heroes of faith in the New Testament saw Jesus. Mary gave birth to him. John the Baptist baptized him. Peter walked on water with him. Mary Magdalene saw him after he had risen from the grave. But according to Luke's gospel, the centurion is like me in that he never sees Jesus. He goes on what he's heard. I think we're all in the centurion's shoes. I don't think any of us has seen the risen Christ in bodily form. All we have is his word. We didn't see Jesus birthed from a virgin. We didn't see him heal the sick or calm the storm or walk on water. We did not see him crucified, and we did not see him raised. Like the centurion, we trust Jesus' word. And all we need is his word. And healing can happen today. When Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you," we believe and we are healed of our despair. When Jesus says, "Forgive one another 70 times 7, we forgive and we are healed of our division. When Jesus says, "Do not fear, it is I," we remember that he's with us and we are healed of our anxieties. When Jesus says, "Follow me," we follow and we are healed of our waywardness. When Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins," we accept his gracious forgiveness and we are healed of our guilt and our shame. When Jesus says, "Love one another," we love and we participate in healing each other. When Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away," we know we can count on the abiding power of Jesus' word today, tomorrow, and into the ages of the ages. We are all in the centurion's shoes today. The question is, will we walk in them like he did? Will we walk with amazing faith? Only our lives will tell. I must mention that if your whole goal in this Christianity thing is to have just enough faith to slip in the back door of heaven, then the story of the centurion probably is not going to mean a lot to you. But if you have the proper goal in Christian discipleship, which is to please the Savior, the centurion shows us a faith that not only pleases, but even amazes Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers, God is not pleased when we aspire to be average. Since God has given us such amazing grace, why wouldn't we respond with amazing faith? I say we care for people, care deeply for people that society ranks beneath us, and that we seek to empower them and assist them and help them in any way we can. I say we seek to love people who are different from us, people who are different in race, culture, and religious heritage. I say we give generously from what God has so generously given to us. I say we walk humbly before others and beneath Christ. I say we trust in the abiding power of Jesus' word. I say we aspire to the type of faith that makes Jesus stop dead in his tracks, the type of faith that makes the Lord shake his head in wonder, the type of faith that blows Jesus away. For imagine how incredible it would be if when you get to glory, you see Jesus greeting the other saints, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, well done, well done, well done." But when he catches your eye, the only word that escapes his lips is, "Wow." Amen. If you have never put your faith in our